It is the evening of Wednesday, the 4th of November. It's a day when I'm sure many of us in the UK could certainly use some good news. I'm sure many people woke this morning expecting a decisive result from the American election. That didn't turn out the way many people anticipated. A landslide victory was predicted for Donald Trump by many pundits, and it's not turned out that way, so there's a lot of uncertainty still hanging around that event. We're on the eve of the 5th of November now, which is a very momentous date, of course, in British history, very symbolic. And so it seems appropriate that I've got my guest back on the show this evening for a bonus episode. Many people would have heard the show that we did a couple of weeks ago that's had multiple plays online. Many people have found great value in the information that was shared there. So I've got Michael O'Bernicia back with me. Welcome back, brother.
Thanks very much for having me, Mark. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
Sure. And I would urge everyone to have a recap on that episode that we did, the full show. If you're new to this subject, the best thing you can do is familiarise yourself with it all from that show and then listen to the one we're doing now. So the reason we've regrouped this evening is to get an update on the private criminal prosecutions that you and the team that you've assembled against British MPs. And it comes at the tail end of the vote by these MPs to extend or to approve the new lockdown in England, which is going to take place from midnight tonight. The vast majority of MPs predictably did vote for it. Only, I think it was 32 that voted against. So, you know, it speaks volumes, doesn't it? But I just wanted to get an update from you as to where we're at. So where would you like to start on that?
Okay, well, providing I don't get heckled by my Jack Russell tyke, as he is wont to do, there's lots of reasons to be very happy about what we've achieved since last time we talked. The first thing that I have to say, first and foremost, and I know you share these feelings, I am absolutely overwhelmed with the level of support, passionate support, that has been thrown our way by not just people all over the country, but people all over the world. They've taken inspiration from the direct action that we've started to take and the direct action that we've proposed everybody must take, and the strategy of totalitarian non-compliance and non-violent direct action that we put forward as part of the solution. And also, in addition, people have come forward saying that they can now see the reasons why Magna Carta 2020, the new Declaration of Rights, was brought into being for these very circumstances, and that they recognise, because of the work that's on my blog, which, as I'm sure lots of your listeners know, has been hit with a level of denial of service attack by government bots, which three developers have contacted me and they've done a full analysis of, and they've said they've never ever seen this level of attack on a blog such as mine. And one of them has worked very hard with me behind the scenes, as have others, to solve those attacks which were crashing the site. But regardless of the denial of service attacks, all of the relevant posts relating to the private criminal prosecution against every MP for fraud, genocide and treason, and all of the related posts proving the fraud and laying out all of the allegations, they were the posts that were getting hit by the bots. And at the last count, the site was getting hit with 6 million bots per hour, and we've managed to put the defences in place to prevent that happening. And as a result, now anyone who is trying to access those posts is not having the same difficulties as they were before. So that's very, very good, and I appreciate all the help and assistance I've had in that regard. And in addition, what we've had is other whistleblowers come forward, and I won't name names for obvious reasons for their protection and privacy and security, but I can tell you that one whistleblower from Big Pharma UK has come forward. And this is what he alleges, that he can swear under oath and prove empirically that A, no virus exists and has never been proven to exist, and B, that the cause of the virus he can prove does not exist either. He can also prove that there has never been one single completed health safety check that's been done on any vaccine or pharmaceutical that's been released in the UK. And how does he know? Because he's one of the most highly qualified pharmacologists in the country, and he's a whistleblower at one of the biggest firms that is implicated in the intention to make vax termination mandatory before they let us have Christmas. So he can prove all those things, which is in and of itself extraordinary, and it won't surprise anybody listening to know that since he tried to blow the whistle internally on these facts that he can prove, he's been persecuted and he's been very lucky to escape with his life and his sanity, because they've tried everything under the sun to take him down, and they've failed because of his courage, tenacity and his intelligence. He's a very impressive man to have on our team.
Is he prepared to go on record?
He's not just prepared to go on record. He said to me, and again, this is emblematic of the level of support that's come my way since the last show. He came forward and he said, look, I've looked at everybody who is standing on the front line, and you are the only one putting forward an actual plan, a strategy that not only has a chance of working, I can help you nail the bastards to the mast, because the evidence that I've got is so incendiary, nobody would even dare refute it, because I have first-hand knowledge of the facts that I can prove, as well as a scientific pharmacological background, which can't be questioned, as well as an involvement at the highest level of the UK pharmaceutical industry. It's like getting the best expert witness, but he's a whistleblower as well.
Well, that is probably the best thing I have heard all year.
Yes, as I said, that there have been exceptional things have happened. In addition to that whistleblower coming forward, we've also got a solicitor. Again, I won't name names, but we've got a solicitor who's come forward with a witness statement testifying that she has witnessed the falsification of death certificates in the form of saying something was a COVID death when it wasn't, and she's willing to testify to that. We also have an independent researcher. Now, get ready for this one. He came to me, didn't know who he was, and he said, look, I'm gonna just explain a few things. When you started putting out all of the information that you were, I started looking at it, and I had time on my hands to go and check everything, and I found that what you were saying was completely true. So I decided that I would send a load of Freedom of Information requests to every single government department in the country. And the outcome of this was a sample of 2.5 million government worker surveys asking them the critical questions, whether or not they had suffered from the symptoms of the Lurgy, whether or not they'd been diagnosed at having the Lurgy, if they or anyone they knew had died or been diagnosed at having the Lurgy, etc. And what the outcome ended up being was demonstrable proof that the ONS's current claims of the Lurgy death rate are as fraudulent as the original claims by Imperial College that 500,000 people in this country were going to die because of it, and as fraudulent as all of the claims made previously about how many people had died of the Lurgy, and the death rate, the average death rate per 100,000 people, according to this sample of government workers, comes out at 0.0046. But that's only if the Lurgy exists. So what we're really talking about is people who had the Lurgy written onto their death certificates fraudulently.
The question that many members of mainstream society would come back at you with is, what have people been dying of then, when they think of the reports from these care homes, so-called, and people being taken to these COVID wards in hospital? They would say, oh yeah, there's no virus, then what have people been dying of?
The same things they die of every year, various chest and pneumonia complaints, of flu-like symptoms, as they do every year. And if you look at the number of deaths that have been recorded for every major killer of British people over the last 5 years, you will see that there have been far fewer recorded as flu deaths than ever before. You will also see fewer heart attacks, cancer, etc., recorded. And all of this adds up to, I understand the question, and I understand why people are putting it, and these are the definitive answers that I would offer. Firstly, the deaths are most certainly to do with respiratory ailments and illnesses or conditions that take people out every year. That's one explanation. Another explanation, as supported by the evidence that was put out right at the beginning of COVID-1984 by Dr. Kyle Sidell from the US, and he was stating that in all his experience and after all his training and frontline experience on the, you know, in the emergency room and dealing with lots of respiratory conditions, he said that as far as he could tell, this was not a respiratory condition that was caused by a virus. He said that it had exactly the same symptoms as chronic altitude sickness. And I checked that out for myself, and it turned out that that was exactly the case. But it's also the case that they are exactly the same symptoms as non-ionizing microwave radiation sickness, which is, of course, the number one subject that gets censored every time you talk about it.
Exactly. To do with a certain number and a certain letter.
Correct, yes. And if you look at the incidences of the 5G rollout during COVID-1984, and if you look at the incidences of the so-called outbreaks, you will see how close those so-called outbreaks and those deaths that occurred with those symptoms occurred in areas where there has been 5G rolled out worldwide.
The last time we spoke, you mentioned that in the notices you sent out to these MPs, there was a kind of get-out clause offered, where if any of them chose to disavow the Treasonous Coronavirus Act and resign their post, then they could escape any kind of action. But very few seem to have taken this, if any at all. Chris Green notably resigned quite soon after you sent out your notices. I don't know if you feel it was as a direct result of what you sent out, but it indicates that most of these MPs just didn't take the threat seriously, and they didn't consider that anything would happen to them by continuing on the same course. And we saw in the vote today that most of them just went straight ahead and did what they'd always intended to do. So they seem to be very defiant in the face of such resistance and pushback, don't they?
They do, yes. But they are exhibiting all of the symptoms I've seen before in various adversarial conflicts that I've had with the self-appointed ruling class, both in and out of court and in business and private life. And I can say that there's a pattern of behavior that I recognize in the way the MPs are behaving now. I recognize it because I saw it in the judge that reluctantly had to back down and grant us summary judgment when we took Bank of Scotland to court over the fraudulent mortgages that they had over my family's properties. And we won a historic point of law proving that any mortgage that wasn't properly witnessed by independent witnesses was void and illegal and couldn't be enforced. But what we had in the interim was multiple miscarriages of justice, you know, just all the arguments being thrown out was totally without merit that were later vindicated. And this is because the arrogance of these people in those positions is bred into them. They see us as their rulers. They're bred to believe they're our rulers and they have the right to rule over us. And we are less than the dirt on the bottom of their shoes, when truth be told. And when we have the temerity to go and seek the things that are our birthrights that they don't want to acknowledge as our birthrights, they always have the same reaction. They set aside any possibility that they could be foolish enough to allow themselves to be in a position where they could be taken down by the people for the crimes that they've committed against them, when the truth is, every one of those MPs who has voted, having had notice of the fraud, treason and genocide that they were all complicit in, that voted today for that second lockdown, has voted for a second wave of fraud, treason and genocide, and that renders Parliament, if it wasn't already, which it was, completely illegitimate, without jurisdiction. It's acting ultra vires. And the reason I believe they're doing it is because the real plan behind it all is sustainable development goals. The real agenda is population reduction. As I've said, since March, they openly state they want to reduce the population by at least 95%. Well, how else are they going to hit carbon zero targets with all of us useless breathers breathing carbon dioxide out with every breath?
The terror threat level in the UK has just been raised in the last couple of days to, extreme, severe. Quite a coincidence that it's come along just before 5th of November, and quite a coincidence that it's come along in the midst of the action that you're taking against these MPs. I would hazard a guess that there's a connection there somewhere.
Yes, and that brings us back to the other smoking gun in terms of the evidence of their murderous actions. It's not just the sample of surveys from government departments that we've acquired via freedom of information requests. We've also acquired responses from every single government department, including the Cabinet Office, including the Privy Council Office, including the House of Commons Office and the House of Lords Office, and the Department of Health, obviously. And they have all confessed to the following, that they have no evidence on record of the existence of the virus or its cause, and they have no evidence on record that the PCR tests detect any virus. So we've proven beyond any doubt, and there's no doubt that any jury that wasn't rigged would agree with us, that we've proven they committed out-and-out fraud from the beginning, which automatically renders their conduct treasonous, and because so many people have died as a result, it renders it genocide. But on account of the fact that they repealed the Genocide Act in the 90s, the only way that we can take action against them under common law for genocide is to allege mass murder, which is exactly what we're doing.
Right. What do you think the aim of raising this terror threat was then?
The aim of raising the terror threat was to excuse whatever they're going to do, whatever they're going to concoct in order to make it look like either there is a real terrorist threat, or alternatively, as quite a few of us have been wondering, they may use it as an excuse, just like they did in V for Vendetta, to come for people who are standing on the front line like us. But what they're not banking on is people like us having so much support already, who have already pledged to stand shoulder to shoulder and do whatever it takes to restore common law, freedom and justice to these lands, and to guarantee our children's future, regardless of what they put up in front of us as obstacles. Because of that, they have no conclusive proof that what they're doing isn't going to result in what it always has resulted in, and that is genocide tribunals and being found guilty and serving the rest of their lives in prison.
There was a story a few days ago, which you probably saw. The owner of a soft play centre in Liverpool got visited by the police when he refused to shut his business down, and he was evoking Article 61 of the Magna Carta and inviting the police officers to read it, and, you know, he was attempting to stand under it. And this resulted in the mainstream media running stories about it and stating that Article 61 of the Magna Carta is effectively defunct and can no longer be utilised or acted upon. So that seems to be some more damage limitation on the part of the mainstream there in direct response to that event. And I'm sure, again, there must be some connection to what you're attempting to bring here under common law. I would suggest that this is not a coincidence either.
It's not, no. It's definitely an attempt to make people think that they can't stand up under any version of the Magna Carta. Exactly. But I must also say that I saw the incident in question. I saw the video of it, and the guy, he put in an absolutely exemplary performance. And the only thing that I took issue with, and it would have been a perfect performance were it not for this point, and I know it's thorny. People slag, they slag me off behind my back all the time for saying this, but I've been saying it for a long time, and I'm not going to stop because it's the truth. Article 61 was repealed by the second version of the Magna Carta, which was reissued in 1216. It was reissued without Article 61 in it by the draftsman who'd made the first one. It never became law while Article 61 was within it. It became law when a later king, after King John, was forced to seal the first version under duress because they had him at knife point. A later king, King Henry, eventually reissued the Magna Carta and the Charter of Liberties at exactly the same time, stating clearly that the previous version of the Magna Carta was not valid under the common law on the basis that it was executed under duress, and therefore he stated clearly that he was doing it of his own free will, so it had validity and it became the law of the land, as it were. So apart from citing Article 61, if he had just cited Magna Carta 2020 instead of that, it would have been a perfect display of civil disobedience.
When we were chatting a couple of days ago, you indicated that there's a very strong possibility of MPs getting placed under house arrest very soon. Is that still looking likely?
Well, we, as everyone who listened to the last podcast will know or has been following any of my work over the last few months, we are in a position where we engaged a few weeks ago a top legal team of specialists in private criminal prosecutions, and they have taken legal advice from the people who've been described as the very top QCs and legal brains, who've all come back with the same assessment, and that is they couldn't find any flaws in the allegations we were putting forward, provided we could just supply them with the evidence that we said we had. So we proceeded to the point over the weeks, and we gave them the final draft of the arguments, and we said to them that we needed to proceed with the laying of the information as soon as possible, but at the very latest by tomorrow morning. And it was last Sunday when we started to get a sense that the legal team might be getting lent on, because for the very first time since we engaged them, they suddenly weren't as efficient as they had been previously, and all of their very positive and committed comments that they would say in emails and in conversations were becoming more few and far between. So we had to prepare ourselves for that eventuality. Because we knew that if we got to a point where either they were getting lent on, or they got too scared, because this is literally the first time in legal history that anyone has launched such a prosecution against the government, and there's no precedent for it, so it has to be heard in its own merits before a jury. And quite frankly, the number of QCs and clerks from chambers of barristers who've contacted us over the past few weeks to offer free advice, it's become very obvious that we have the backing of almost the entire legal profession. So it stands to reason, if that's the case, then we'll have at least some judges who are also sympathetic. What I think this lockdown and the raising the terror level is all about is to try and claim that anybody who flouts the lockdown bullshit in lockdown 2 will be held as a domestic terrorist for flouting those bullshit diktats. And in the event that that is the case, the only realistic way that we are going to combat that is to either stop it in the courts prior to enforcement. And for that reason, we are intending to do everything we can to lay the information ourselves tomorrow, November the 5th, in a criminal court that I won't name. But we have people all around the country from inside the legal professions who have already offered their assistance in getting this information laid if something like this transpired. So in other words, Mark, despite the fact that it's not exactly ideal timing, that our legal team are clearly full of fear for the first time on the brink of laying the information, because they've asked for an extra 3 weeks to prepare the case. And we've told them that we know it isn't complex enough to justify that type of delay, especially after they've just voted for another bullshit lockdown. So even though they're completely sympathetic, they're not taking issue with any of the arguments. They're saying that they need more time to prepare the case. And we're saying in that case, we have to take control and lay it tomorrow. And we're going to do everything we can to do that. And if we can't do it tomorrow, we keep going until we are able to do it. And if they put the shutters up and they say, right, jury trials are suspended, and that means you can't lay information until after lockdown two, if they do that, then we'll attempt to do it electronically. If they block us there as well for the same reasons, we will rely on the grand jury indictment we already have, which is already declared that we have enough evidence to proceed with indictments and arrest all of the cabinet and every MP who is complicit in the terrorizing of the British people and the genocide and the fraud and the treason.
If that should happen, how would the general public get to know about it? Because the mainstream media could not be relied upon to accurately report what's going on. So
that's right. That's yeah. Right. Exactly. So this is what is transpiring. Whatever happens tomorrow, what we are going to do is proceed, whatever happens with the laying of the information tomorrow, I should say, we are going to proceed with the grand jury indictment of every MP will be released tomorrow morning, regardless of what happens in the courts. And that grand jury indictment represents, under common law, the supreme authority of the land. It's beyond the jurisdiction of government, which is why they tried to abolish it unlawfully in 1933. But a grand jury in this country convened for the purpose of abolishing that part of the statute. So grand juries were reinstituted in 2014. And in October 2014, the first grand jury after the first one knocked out the statute that tried to suspend the grand jury declared that every single EU-related statute, act and treaty was null and void. Because of the unlawful ceding and treasonous ceding of sovereignty to a foreign power. And as we know, that decision of the grand jury, even though this was before Brexit, the decision that was made by the grand jury was never challenged, and it was ratified and vindicated by the Brexit vote. Nevertheless, in the position that we're in, the reason why we're asking people to be ready tomorrow is that we're organizing from tomorrow, from the first day of lockdown two, nationwide totalitarian non-compliance and non-violent direct action to go with the legal actions that were taken to bring all of the guilty to justice. So what I'm saying is that tomorrow should be the first day when at a certain time, everybody goes out to a certain place and celebrates freedom, sovereignty and the power of the people to resist tyrannical government. Because all we need to do is say no, but we need to say no in sufficient numbers so those of us who are doing it and leading it on the front line can't get taken down under this new bogus supposed terror threat.
Exactly. There's a million mask march organised kicking off in Trafalgar Square from 6 p.m. tomorrow that I've heard about. Maybe there are other events as well, but I'm aware of that one at least. Very symbolic.
Yes. Well, that's what I'm saying. If that one's kicking off at 6 o'clock, then perhaps we should say that at 6 o'clock tomorrow night, everywhere in the country, people should go out and celebrate those things and show the government and show the MPs that whatever they do, whatever they say, we're not going to take this shit. We're going to stand up and be counted. And then perhaps our ancestors from beyond the grave will look upon us with something other than contempt. Because make no bones about it, Mark, I'm sure you already agree, anybody who is not going to rise up to this, history will see as a collaborator with tyranny. And generation after generation will despise them because they decided that they would yet again believe the government bullshit without checking the facts for themselves, and they ignored everything that people like us have been telling them since the beginning. And if they'd only check the facts for themselves, they would be mad as hell and ready to go out tomorrow night and let the world know.
Absolutely. I said as much in a speech that I did at a protest at the weekend. There's only two sides, good and right action or evil. And if you just comply meekly and do what you're told, then you're siding with evil, and it will be remembered what side everyone chose in times to come. It Correct. Will be remembered.
That's right. And so, I also want to let you know, Mark, and everybody obviously who's listening, that we have already had some ex-servicemen from right around the country and mixed some people who are very high up in the mixed martial arts sports in this country. They have put it forward to someone who has approached me that they all want to get together in order to protect the people who resist on the front line and everybody else, and it would be totally peaceful because they're a peacekeeping force, and they want to help us restore the common law, and they also want to help us bring the traitors to justice. And they have pledged, and this is probably the biggest news that I have, they have pledged that in the event we get what we're aiming to get tomorrow one way or another, whether that is an order that's ordering or a warrant that's ordering the arrest of the cabinet, which we were seeking, and then following that, every MP being put on house arrest. If we get that order, we already have peacekeepers who have pledged to go and enforce that order. If they can't persuade the police to do it, because the police are now duty bound to protect the people from tyrants, and anything less is collaboration and a crime ancillary to genocide. And they're going to be told this, and they're going to be told it tomorrow, and they're also going to be told that we will not back down, we will not surrender, we will not cease and desist until we restore freedom and justice to these lands.
Isn't it sick and disgusting that you got many of these MPs wearing poppies, and you got these broadcasters on TV that are helping to push the official line on things and helping to get the propaganda out there? They're wearing poppies, a symbolic commemoration of men who died fighting for freedom, to preserve our rights and freedoms. And here they are, giving all that away, based on lies, provable lies, and they've got the hypocrisy to wear a fucking poppy while they're doing it. It's just disgusting to me.
It is. It makes me feel sick to my stomach when I witness it. And we've witnessed it so many times that they are so cynical. They really don't care. They are rubbing our noses in it. They are fooling themselves that they've got nothing to fear because we're all on the hit list. And most of us are too stupid to realize it in time. And we'll never amount to any kind of meaningful resistance. Well, I'm telling you, I know with every fiber of my being that they are wrong. And I'm not the only one, as you know. And that number is growing exponentially every single second that passes. And the more they attempt to bring down the jackboot, the more they attempt to crush the resistance, the greater the force they will be met with.
Absolutely, brother. And how do you think the mainstream media would deal with it if MPs were getting placed under house arrest and getting these indictments and such? Presumably they would just ignore it and pretend nothing's happening, but sooner or later people are going to wonder why the MPs aren't appearing on TV and why we're not hearing anything about them anymore. So they might be able to ignore it for a while, but sooner or later, you know, some questions are going to start to be asked.
Well, this is why we've taken action in that regard. We have one major media company, shall we say, who we're talking to currently about an exclusive, a worldwide exclusive. Now, I'm not going to give away any details, but put it this way. You know how most ordinary people, whether we like it or not, they've been programmed not to believe anything that they don't see on the telly or read in the newspapers.
Absolutely, that's the trouble.
So we're going to show it to them on the telly, and then they'll believe it.
That's the only way. It's the only way the masses will.
Correct, yeah. We've already won the argument online. We've won the intellectual argument. We've won the legal argument. We've won the lawful argument. We've won the moral argument. And they're pretending that we are the problem, because all that's left between them and their success in their population reduction agenda, all that's between them is us. And they think they've got us beaten, and there's no doubt that they're going to vanquish us in whichever way they choose. It's just a question of whether or not it's going to be a soft kill or a hard kill. Well, neither of those things are going to happen, because they haven't foreseen exactly what's coming for them.
Great. So it sounds as if there might be much more to know tomorrow. Are you going to be posting updates anywhere? Where can people go to keep updated with everything that's going on here?
They can go to my Facebook page and the Benician Facebook page, as well as my personal Facebook page. They can go to Twitter once I managed to get the account out of suspension. They suspended my account after a tweet with the evidence in the form of a link to an FOI request, which proved that the government has no record of the existence of the virus. I got suspended because it had 1,500 retweets in a couple of hours. It's the first suspension I've had. So if you go to Twitter, just bear in mind that, you know, I'm currently suspended. You can go and check out. I'll be releasing updates on the blog, thebenician.net. And I haven't for a few days for obvious reasons, but I'm going to post all of the updates that I've discussed tonight on there. And that's imminent, probably this evening. And I'm going to be releasing more content on my YouTube channel, the Benician YouTube channel as well, for as long as it stays up there. And if you really do want to contact me, the best way is at the moment not by email, because I'm getting sometimes 5,000 a day without exaggeration, and just as many in messages and notifications. So if you really do need to contact me urgently, then please try and get in contact with me on Facebook, because getting through my emails is a nightmare at the best of times, and I can easily and do easily miss them. So those are the ways you can stay updated. On my mailing list to get the constant updates through the Benician, and on my Facebook pages for the time being, although I'm also on BitChute, Minds, and Library now as well.
Awesome. Well, I wish you all the luck in the world with this, brother, and I know everyone listening will as well. A lot of prayers have been going out, a lot of intentions been going out for the result we all seek on this one. We're making history by the day. And it's Team God right here, and God wins.
This is it. And on that note, I said just the other day to a friend of mine, when he was saying, why do you think it is, Michael, that we've ended up where we are, doing what we are, fighting all this shit? And I said to him, it's like that classic line in the Blues Brothers, we're on a mission from God. And he looked at us at that moment and he says, just like I am now, Mark, he said to me, you just made us shiver. Because we are. That's the truth.
That's right. It's the moment of our lives. It's why we came.
It is. All of us at the same time. Never before have there been so many great warriors on this earth at the same time to win wielding the sword of righteousness instead of wielding the sword of pain. Because we've done that before. We know it's too much suffering to bear for anybody. So we're here to make sure we don't have to go through that suffering again. But people have to stand up, and they have to stand up now.
That's right. I used to end my public talks with a slide, a meme that went, if not now, then when? If not you, then who? That applies more than ever in these times. And I think we'll leave it there, man. So we've said everything we need to say for now. I'm sure we'll hook up again soon to see where we're at with everything. But thanks for taking the time out this evening, and we'll see how it pans out.
Absolute pleasure, Mark. Absolute pleasure. And thanks for asking me again.
All right.
I look forward to the next time.